welcome to Friday morning, and what a busy weekend this is in the province. Even if you just look at it through a sports lens, we've got the Battle on the Prairies happening at Moose Jaw's Yara Center. This is hosted by SAS Selects Football, about 1,000 football players there from Canada, from the United States, and from Mexico. We've got the Men's and Women's Provincial Curling Championships happening in Melville. The Bedford Road Invitational Tournament gets underway, actually started yesterday in Saskatoon. Lots of basketball. I mean, we got a lot going on this weekend, and the weather is going to be exceptional. Plus temperatures. By the time we get to Sunday, Monday into next week, it looks great. Looking forward to that, that's for sure. Okay, we are just about to get into open lines, but before we do, I wanted to, we got into a great discussion yesterday, and I appreciate the back and forth dialogue. And you know what else I appreciate? I'm just going to say this up front. I appreciate that even though on topics that we talk about every day, you and I might see things differently, but we can talk about it on here. That's what this is all about. It gives us a chance to talk. Social media, on the other hand, I don't even get me started. Last night, I was people just are so disgusting on social media. They say such, I truly believe in my heart that they're tough guys on social media, but they would never say those things to your face. And I have no time for it. So I want to understand perspectives and opinion, but I also don't want to be dragged down what is a cesspool of negativity. And so I had to back away from the social media stuff last night. Now, what we did talk about yesterday was we talked about, let's look at this situation. We have a shooting that happened in Minneapolis between an ICE agent who was lawfully there in the lawful execution of their duty. And I'm saying that as a, I'm going to call that a fact. So I'm not disputing whether they had the right to be there. I'm not disputing whether or not they were in so they were. We have a woman in a vehicle who was, you know, there's varying reports on whether she was protesting or not. It sounds to me like she was. And I'm going to go on the assumption that she was protesting the ICE involvement in her city and the work that they were doing, and she was protesting. And she was in her vehicle. I'm pulling away the political stuff, the whole Tim Walz versus Donald Trump, you know, Democrat versus Republic. This Minneapolis mayor, I think I've watched him speak on many different things prior to this. I mean, I don't necessarily love the guy. I think he can be a bit of a quack, actually, to be very honest. He's coming out very strong on this one. I'm pulling away all of that stuff. This is not about politics. I'm talking about the actual incident. Was this an appropriate use of force? Now, I gave you my opinion yesterday. I said outright and very clearly, I do not think it was appropriate. I do not think the officer should have shot. There are a lot of people, yes, I see your texts, that don't agree with me. I'm going based on my training, my policing, and 30 years. Now, I sat on a use of force review board in my time at the police service. I was trained on use of force, but I was never declared an expert. I was not a use of force expert. I didn't train use of force at our service. We had people that did that. I would never go to court and testify as a use of force expert. So I'll step back and accept that. But I know lots of people who have, including my next guest. Darcy Cook is a former member of the Regina Police Service. He retired here just a year ago, actually, or in this last year, as a superintendent within the police service. But he was also recognized as a provincial use of force expert. And I'll acknowledge off the start, yep, there could be some differences between the United States and Canada when it comes to training and tactics. But someone with some expertise when it comes to this is what I wanted to bring onto the program. And I'm happy to welcome Darcy Cook by phone this morning. Darcy, thanks for taking the call.
Good morning, Evan. Glad to talk to you again.
So let's just first start with you worked 30 how many years with the police service?
34.
Okay. So in your 34 years, what was the training? What was the expertise? What was your involvement with use of force?
Initially, I started out as a use of force instructor at the Saskatchewan Police College, which trains all municipal officers in the province. Spent 9 years doing that. Three of those years, I was the lead instructor. I also was the use of force, sworn as a use of force expert for the province of Saskatchewan that would testify on behalf of the Saskatchewan Police Commission in incidents where force was used and being questioned, and have done that in court in Saskatchewan. And also spent 14 years of my 34 years on our tactical response team and here in Regina, known as our SWAT team. So I was a team leader of that team as well. So I had extensive training in use of force from everything that police do, from tasers to impact munitions to tactics. So a lot of my career was involved in that area.
You know, a lot of people say, and I've been saying it, that there are definitely some differences, maybe philosophy is the better way to put it, between the United States and Canada when it comes to policing. You trained with LAPD SWAT many years. Can you talk about what you learned to be the differences between how the United States views a tactical incident versus Canada?
Well, they're very, very similar in terms of the tactics that are used. A lot of things that we adopted here in Regina specifically were based on what LA has done in the past and been very successful doing. And ultimately, the involvement or use of tactics is ultimately to ensure the safety of not only the officers, but the safety of the people they're dealing with and the safety of the public. So everything that we did was in line with acceptable practices from a tactical perspective and proven with actual use in the field.
So let's talk now about this incident in Minneapolis. There are, numerous videos floating around out there from various different angles. You've had a chance, I know, to see the videos. Give us your thoughts, just your pure thoughts when you saw that use of force and all of the subsequent videos that I'm sure you've examined.
Yeah. Well, initially, you first view it and you don't see all the angles. You see an officer in front of a vehicle that's moving and a discharge of a weapon. But the lead up to that is where my questions are as to the tactics that were deployed there in that instant. Officers are approaching a vehicle or leaving their own vehicle to approach a vehicle. An officer leaving or putting himself in front of a vehicle that was being occupied or being driven by someone, whether or not what the intent was there. But again, the overall tactic, in my view, wasn't safe. When an officer reaches into a vehicle to try to remove someone who is actively able to drive that vehicle is risky and is dangerous. And I'm aware of incidents in our own city here in Regina in my career where officers had been injured doing that. So the tactics used there, I would say, were not safe necessarily. And I think the result of that was tragic and probably shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm. So when you're thinking about the use of force model, lethal force or the use of a firearm is obviously at the extreme end of the model. Can you talk a little bit about, if this was an incident that happened in Saskatchewan and you were asked to comment on things that could have been done differently or things that you would want to explore, investigate further, what would you be focusing on?
Well, initially with the model is a graphical description of, allows officers to explain why they use force and what they observe. So initially the model has an assessment period inside the center of that model, which is a circle, and allows the officers to make decisions on the type of force to be used based on the subject's behavior. And from what I was seeing, that the assessment was there was someone in a vehicle that was given some commands that were not necessarily ignored, but weren't immediately adhered to. And at that point in time, I think, the officers there, I don't believe, determined that situation to be very risky. So the amount of force that was being applied or used through communication and those type of things in presence was enough to deal with that. It changed the moment the vehicle started to move, and one officer, not a whole bunch of officers, but one officer deemed that action of that vehicle moving their perception was their life was in danger, and then they chose to use a level of force, which, in my opinion, based on what I've seen, I would say was excessive.
Often it comes down to in the investigation that follows, and we will know that there will be an investigation following, it comes down to officer perception, comes down to sometimes what the knowledge was in the officer's head of the subject, of the situation, of prior history that that officer has had. And we've learned just yesterday that this officer has actually been involved in a, I don't know if I want to say a similar situation, but a situation where he was injured by a vehicle. In this case, is that a factor? Like, it, would that have been in his head, I guess, is what I'm asking. Is that play a factor?
Yeah. Yes, it's hard for me to say, but I would say this, that as an expert witness, or an expert witness to our use of force, my position would be that each incident is on its own merit. And it's dangerous and very risky for officers to say, because of what happened to me before, I then am justified in increasing the level of force I'm going to use or be quicker to do that. I think that's dangerous. I think that's risky for not only the officers, but for citizens. Each individual situation is on its own merit. And every assessment, no situation is the same. And they all have numerous factors that exist in terms of the environment you're involved in, what has happened, what your knowledge is. You can't make the stretch to say, because this happened to me previously, I'm then going to escalate quicker because I don't want it to happen again.
You know, there, it's been said, we're chatting today with Darcy Cook, who is a former provincial use of force expert in the province of Saskatchewan for municipal policing. It's been said and brought into question, I would say there's two sides to this. Some people saying this officer relied on his training for his actions. Others are questioning, it doesn't sound like ICE agents get a ton of training. It sounds like it's actually been scaled back to somewhere around 50 days of training. And you have to think, given what their mandate is, and this was a conversation I had with my son, who's a police officer in Saskatoon, do they get the same training that police do when it comes to things like vehicles? Given what their job, what their focus would be, I wonder how much training comes into this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, based on the training they get, I know from my own experience in terms of firearms, I was a firearms instructor as well in my career, very little training about shooting, and if any, shooting at a vehicle. It's the last resort in a extremely risky situation, that whatever's happening with that vehicle, it must be stopped immediately, or someone may lose their life, a member of the public or an officer. So the amount of training to get to, you know, discharge a firearm at a moving vehicle is limited to tactical teams potentially in the worst situation, but frontline patrol officers, need officers, I can't comment whether what kind of training they had, but that to me was a response from an officer that, for whatever reason, he believed his life was in danger, and he used lethal force to deal with it. Now, one thing I will say, Evan, is there were some comments about immediate and imminent danger. And the use of lethal force, in most cases, in my experience, there is immediate danger of loss of life or grievous bodily harm. It's not imminent. Imminent is down the road. It may happen. When lethal force is used, in my experience, in most situations, it's immediate. It must be done immediately, or grievous bodily harm or death is going to occur. I see there's a big difference there. In this situation, I don't think there may have been imminent danger, but I don't believe there was immediate.
Well, I mean, the argument on the other side of it is that there was immediate danger to that officer who was standing in front of her vehicle, literally, what, 2-3 feet away when she put the vehicle in drive and drove forward.
And I can see that from the video, but also from the video, I can see the officer steps to the side, has time to draw his weapon and deliver not only one, but two shots. And to me, there's time there to make a decision. In my opinion, as a use of force expert, I think the decision was poor. I think there's other use of force options that were readily available that could have been used and were not.
Darcy, I think we're going to leave it there. I appreciate you checking in with me. Sorry to interrupt retirement, but every once in a while, I got to do that.
It's my pleasure, Evan, and it's always good talking to you.
Okay, Darcy Cook, former provincial use of force expert, retired superintendent with the Regina Police Service. We'll take our break. Then we'll come back and have the discussion with you. Phone lines, text lines are officially open now. 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.